Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We are doing a verse-by-verse study through Paul's wonderful epistle to the Ephesians. That source, that spring of wisdom, of truth to the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul says in the 12th verse of the first chapter, he says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first hoped in Christ, in whom ye also, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of your salvation, in whom also that ye trusted, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Today, I want to take a little departure from the book of Ephesians. My pastor, Dr. Scott, for 30 years, preached 7 messages, which he eventually called nitro pills. The explanation for nitro pills is a person with a heart condition. It's not something that you take every day. It's not something that you need to take every day. But when you need it, when that angina or other malady of the heart begins to strike, when you need that nitro pill, you need that nitro pill. This week, I found myself in a situation that I would call fretting. Now, there's no need to share with you what it was I was fretting about. To be very honest, I can't even remember what it was. But I came, or gracefully was brought back to this psalm. And I am moved to want to share again this wonderful psalm that every Christian should have in his or her quiver, because as we are on this journey, as strangers and pilgrims in this world, looking for that world to come, that's part of Christian understanding. That there is more to life than what we see in this world. I want to share again this 37th Psalm. And it opens. And it says, fret not. if we continue to read, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Now, this is a Psalm of David. It's written about 1,000 years before Christ. That means about 3,000 years ago. Second verse says, "For they soon shall be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb." They shall soon be cut down. 3,000 years later, we're still dealing with evildoers. That Galatian letter says, "Who gave himself," speaking of Jesus Christ, "who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world." It's still continuing, folks. But God's response is, "Fret not." The seventh verse says, "Fret not." The eighth verse says, "Fret not." When God says something twice, we ought to pay attention. When he says it three times, stop what you're doing and give attention to what God would have us give attention to. It says, now, you know, I don't know if the hearers of this message, if any of you are in a state of fretting today. If you're not, well, you ought to listen anyway. You might say, "Well, Don, we've heard this message before." Well, you ought to listen, because maybe there might be something new that will be of benefit to you along this journey. You may not be fretting today, but I'm telling you, from 70 years of experience, fretting is part of the trip. God says, "Fret not." He gives us four things that we should do, that we can do. First thing he says is, trust in the Lord. Now, for 13 years, we've been teaching out of God's word his faithfulness. And the question then becomes, you know, God says, trust in the Lord. The question is he trustworthy? The answer is, for 13 years, for 2,000 years, for thousands of years in the history of mankind, in their relationship with God, the testimony is, he can be trusted. The next question then becomes, well, if the Lord's trustworthy, can I trust him? The word here in the Hebrew, where it says trust in the Lord, is betach. And this word in the Hebrew means to lean. It's a verb, to lean upon a staff with your whole weight, with the expectation that the staff will hold you. Or, in other words, lean with your whole weight, trust in the hope that the staff will hold you. These are that 13th and 14th verses of the first chapter of Ephesians. We had the hope of the Lord, and we trusted in Him. It says in the fourth verse, delight thyself in the Lord. Now, this verse is in every Christian promise box, and I say that facetiously. You know, they reach into a box and pull out a promise for the day. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This word delight has the understanding of being pliable, like clay. And I don't think it was too long ago that we gave that message on the Potter's House. That God is like the potter, and we are like the clay, and He's making us over again as seemeth good to Him. Delight thyself, be pliable in the Lord. Let God be God, and let us be with understanding the beneficiaries of His goodwill, of His grace, His unmerited favor. Third thing we're told to do in this wonderful 37th Psalm is commit thy way unto the Lord, and trust also in Him. Here we go again. Commit. This is a word out of the old camel trains and the traders in those days, where the merchant would take his merchandise and roll it off his back onto the camel. We are, whatever it is you're fretting about, God says, commit thy way unto Him. Roll it off unto God. Commit thy way. The early Christians called this Christian journey the way. They did it because Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus never came preaching a message apart from Himself. And God says here, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. King James says, and He shall bring it to pass. The literal is, the Lord will go to work. The Lord will do it. The Lord will make it. You say, well, Don, I don't have a bundle on my back. I've got trouble in my mind. I've got trouble in my heart. I've got empty pockets. How do I roll it off onto God? The Roman letter tells us in that 10th chapter, with the heart man believeth, with the mouth declaration is made. We can say to God, I've been doing it my way, Lord. And I can't get it done, but here, Lord, you take it. Now, there's a lot of people who have gotten this far in this message, and they do roll it off onto the Lord with their mouth and have expectation that God is going to take care of it immediately, and because he has not, they leave the Lord like he's not able. They miss the fourth part of what God has to say to the one who is fretting, which is contained in the 7th verse. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Now, those of you who have been around a long time, you understand that 99% of the time this word translated patiently or patience is found in the word. It really means endurance. Rest and endure. You know, God's will also includes God's time. Not our time, God's time. God knows what's good for us. And it's his time. That's why it says, that's why it adds to that word, rest, enduringly. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. For the Lord will do it. The Lord is doing it. The Lord will work. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. What's the good news of the gospel? To those who trust in the Lord, God gives them his righteousness. God says, fret not. When this, the realization of the calling of God is on your life, it doesn't say you're not going to have problems. Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. When we trust in the Lord and delight ourselves in the Lord. When we make God the desire of our hearts, He will fulfill it. When we commit our way unto the Lord and trust Him, He goes to work. And the rest of our job is to rest and wait with endurance. That part about the Lord worketh, the Lord will do it, the Lord will make it. Let me tell you what David tells us about God's response is. The 17th verse says, the arms, you know, one of my Bibles, an original edition, not an original, an original edition of the 1611, first edition King James Bible, they give overviews of all the Psalms. They give overviews of, you know, a lot of the chapters. They give overviews. And in the 1611, the heading before this 37th Psalm says, David distinguishes between the saints and the wicked. Remember what we said in this Ephesian teaching, Paul's letter to the saints, to the committed ones, to the ones who have committed themselves to God. The ones who, with endurance, keep that commitment, though they may not see the manifestations of all these promises that follow to the one who's trusting in the Lord, who delights in the Lord, who has committed his way unto the Lord, and who is resting enduringly. Verse 17 says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And we've already spoken of the source of the righteousness. It's God's righteousness, not ours. You know, Romans 3 is very clear. There is none righteous, no, not one. God's not interested in your righteousness. He sure as hell isn't interested in my righteousness. But in that righteousness which He gives, which is the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Yasher, speaking again of righteousness, and their inheritance shall be forever. The steps King James reads, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. In this context, the good man, that's the committed man or woman. That's the one who has rolled their way off their back and given it unto the Lord, the committed ones. He orders their steps. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That is, the committed one is delighted in God's way. Whew, that's a tough one. But we have the spirit of promise because of the trusting relationship with God. It goes on to say, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth with his hands. How personal. With his hands. David goes on to say, I've been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, nor his seed begging bread. For 28th verse, for the Lord loveth judgment. Oh, there's coming a day, folks, when at the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to be handing out the rewards for faith, not for your works. You present your works to God. Well, I'm just going to leave that in God's hands. Please don't ever, ever, ever have the thought of, look what I've done for you, God. A word to the wise. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. The committed ones, not perfect ones, the committed ones. Already been told, though he fall, speaking of the saints, the committed ones, it's not perfection. It is an enduring commitment with the hope and trust in God's promises. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. For the Lord loveth judgment. That's going to be a great day at the judgment seat of Christ. And forsaketh not his saints, they are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. 32nd verse says, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him, that is the committed one, that is the hope of our expectancy. I don't know what part of the world is coming against you. I don't know how it's being manifest. But understand this. Our hope is the Lord will not leave us in the hand of the wicked. Wait on the Lord. And keep his way. Yay. David's going to go on to say, I've seen the wicked in great power. Boy, are we seeing it today, aren't we? And spreading himself. Like a green bay tree. The alternative is a green tree that groweth in its own soil. To him who has an ear, let him hear. His own soil. Yet he passed away. And lo, he was not, yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Hallelujah! The day is coming. The day is coming. Verse of the 37th Psalm says, mark the perfect. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. There's only been one perfect ever to walk in shoe leather, and his name is Jesus Christ. This word, Mark, has several definitions, if you will, out of the Hebrew. It means to keep. It means to guard. To keep Jesus Christ. For the end of that man, the end of Jesus Christ, is shalom. Wholeness and wellness. A restoration to original purposes. To the family of God, which is the will of God. I'm going to read this verse, though it doesn't add much edification, but it brings me some joy. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength. In time of trouble, we have the Apostle Paul almost being overwhelmed. By Satan in that 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient. My strength is perfected in weakness. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest and wait enduringly. And the 40th verse of this wonderful psalm of promise says, and the Lord shall help them. And deliver them. And deliver them from the wicked. And save them. Just want to go a little deeper than the words or letters printed on this page. It says, and the Lord shall help them. That's in the Hebrew, the verb in the qual. And it simply means help them, just as though it said, he ate, he sat, he helped. And deliver them, and shall deliver them from the wicked. These are in this word, both deliver them and deliver them from the wicked, are in the what's known as the pa'il of the Hebrew verb, which means with intensity. It is intensive. God will intensively deliver us. He will intensively deliver us from the wicked and since I'm making it personal, will save us. And this is in the hiphol, which gives the understanding to the verb, it is the cause of our salvation is God. And he does all this, he helps. He delivers with intensity. He delivers from the wicked with intensity. He causes our salvation because we trust in him. Next week, Lord willing, we'll get back to our study in the book of Ephesians. But for now, this is the God School.